Okie dokie. It's Weasel in for the Lake Show tonight, and joining us on the Coldwell Banker, John Schuster. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. The John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Matthew Collar. How are you, my friend? Good to talk to you.
I am doing quite well. Exciting times in the football universe.
Well, when the Purple are playing meaningful football in late December, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And not just meaningful. I mean, beyond that, we've seen meaningful that is in the hunt graphic. Hey, they need three or four different teams to lose in order to make the playoffs and so forth. This is a lot more than that. I mean, this is legitimate competing for serious playoff spots and potentially winning the conference and being in that list of teams that it's whittled down to as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. So this kind of goes beyond even the normal, hey, maybe they'll get into the playoffs type of conversation that it feels like we've been having for a long time.
No, this is big time. There's no question about it, and it certainly isn't going to get easy with the Pack coming to town, okay? So our last two games are Green Bay and then Detroit. What you mentioned, it could come down to the division. What has to happen for us to make that happen, to actually be crowned division champs?
Well, you're going to be shocked where this analysis begins. It starts with the quarterback, my friend. the way that Sam Darnold has played over the last 8 weeks or so, 7 weeks, coming out of that Jacksonville game when he had the turnovers and then to rebound from that and really do a great job of protecting the football, making plays out of structure that we've seen some wow, spectacular MVP type of caliber throws over the last few weeks. His connection with Justin Jefferson just seems to get better and better. His comfort in the offense seems to get better and better. His confidence is growing. But, you know, it only takes one game to have that knocked down a peg, because right now he's playing some of the best football that we've seen from any quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings since Brett Favre in 2009. And if he continues that, then they have every chance to beat the Packers at home, every chance to go to Detroit and get into some kind of shootout with that amazing offense and have a shot to win the conference. But if he comes off of this great run and then regresses, then, you know, he's maybe not playing as well or turning the ball over or whatever it might be, then you're going to see a really good Packers defense or, you know, maybe just too much of the Detroit Lions offense for them to get the top seed. And I don't think that that would mean that they weren't a contender still, because I think they could play with anyone, but it might take some of the shine off of the winning streak and Darnold's performance. So he really just needs to keep it going. But the challenge for this week, the Packers have a really good defense. They've got a ton of talent on defense. They can rush the passer. They can blitz really effectively. They can stop the run pretty well. I mean, they've got a lot. So I think this is going to be the toughest test for the Vikings in quite some time.
All right. So in my mind, though, it sounds like you're saying you're waiting for the other, like a true Vikings fan, waiting for the other shoe to drop as it concerns Sam Darnold. And I brought this up. I filled in on Monday as well. And I brought this up about the eye test or whatever. You know, I've seen all his stats. I see all that about, you know, how great he's playing, and it is statistically he is one of the best, not just Vikings quarterbacks. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year. But when you watch him as a lifelong Vikings fan, I don't feel like I'm watching the greatest of all times.
Well, and I don't think that greatest of all time is really.
Well, I'm on
where
the radio. I overhype things a little bit. You know, I tend to say things that, you know, aren't necessarily 100% accurate. But you know what I'm saying? His stats really back up that he's having, you know, a tremendous season. That, you know, I'll put it that way. But it doesn't feel like that when you watch him.
I don't know if I would agree with that. I think when you see plays like what he did in Seattle, where you're talking about one of the hardest environments to play in the league, a good team with a ton of talent, he gets banged up, he's, you know, kind of down, you know, he gets face masked, he's down on the ground a little bit, and then he comes back, they rush the passer, he's able to step up, find Justin Jefferson 40 yards down the field for a game-winning touchdown.
Tremendous.
The play that he made against Atlanta, the 52-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson where he scrambled around. But not only that, I think the greatest quarterbacks don't turn the ball over a lot.
That's
and
right.
With him, that's another thing that recently he has done exceptionally well. I mean, you go back and look, There's one interception that he had, and it was actually the right play to kind of just throw it up for grabs on a fourth down. That wasn't a very good play call, and nobody was open. And that's the only interception he's had in, what, the last 6 weeks or something like
that?
So,
yeah.
You know, I think that there is a gap, though, because when you're talking about the best quarterbacks in the league, okay, Lamar Jackson is having one of the best seasons in NFL history.
Yep.
So that's up there. Josh Allen is an unstoppable force who can run for 1,000 yards and run for 20 touchdowns and, you know, do all the crazy stuff like that. He's kind of a one-man band. It's not that level, but I think the next level, and it's not Mahomes, of course, because that's like one of the greatest ever, but there's a next level down from that that has your Joe Burrow. I think Jordan Love's probably in that conversation.
Jared Goff?
Yeah, absolutely, Jared Goff. And when you look around the NFC, those quarterbacks that I named that are untouchable, they're not in this conference.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you go into a playoff game and you have Darnold or Jalen Hurts, Darnold and Jared Goff, Darnold and Jordan Love, is there anybody that you feel like is leaps and bounds better than him? I think that they're all kind of on the same plane where they're not flawless, perfect supermen, but certainly on a week-to-week basis, they can do enough to win a lot of games.
All right, Matthew, I want to talk about the playoffs real quick here. Let's assume that the worst happens and we lose to Green Bay, or we beat Green Bay and lose to Detroit. That's a 14-win team, 15-win team that's going to now have to go on the road to play their first playoff game? That doesn't seem fair at all.
No, it does not. It is an asinine system that allows that to happen. I don't know why this wasn't changed years ago when the Seattle Seahawks won a playoff game at home after having, I think, 7 wins.
That's right.
And what was it, a 12-win or 13-win team had to travel there and lost to them. And, you know, of course, the 12-win team should still win. But, I mean, come on. Like, it just doesn't make a lick of sense. If they have to go to Atlanta, Atlanta hasn't been a good team this year. They're just the definition of middling, and the Vikings are an elite team, and you have to travel. Like, what's the reward there? So I've always hated that. I just think it should be seeded straight up by records. I'm pretty sure that's how they do it in almost every other sport. So why not this one? I mean, I think that they've always wanted to kind of protect the value of winning the division. But when the gap could be what? I mean, 5-win difference,
yeah,
and you're gonna penalize that team. Yeah, I think that's completely unfair. But
and Detroit's in the same boat, by the way. You know, just us. It could happen to Detroit. I hope that it does. But it's a real shame. Hey, let's talk about the defense real quick. Okay, first, what's going on with the hitman?
He practiced today, so that is a really good sign for them. Full practice, which means there's a really good chance he's going to come back. I think that last week, if it had been a playoff game, then Harrison Smith would have played. But the coaching staff, the way that Kevin O'Connell talked about it, more or less said, Harrison, if you take this game out, it's going to be better for you in the long run, because he's been dealing with a foot injury. Mm-hmm. And knowing him, I'm sure that was a difficult conversation to get him to agree with it. But I think it's a good one for him to have missed and to find a way to win. And a backup safety gets the game-sealing interception, so it all kind of worked out there. And they are one of the rare teams in the NFL that is actually going down the stretch here, and maybe you want to knock on whatever wood the desk is made of in front of you. But
I'm using my
head. They are getting healthier at this moment. They get Stephon Gilmore back last week, and then they're going to get Ivan Pace back this week.
That's
who is a huge element of their defense. They did make up for him pretty well with Josh Metellus and some other guys mixing in, but there's not much that replaces that guy. He's kind of a rocket out there. So they are a very healthy defense if Harrison Smith and Ivan Pace come back.
All right, we're wrapping with Matthew Coller, creator and owner of Purple Insider. We got to give it up to Andrew Van Ginkel, NFC Defensive Player of the Week. How about Van Ginkel? Talk about him for a minute.
Andrew Van Ginkel is one of the most unique players that I have ever covered. He, not just his name, but he is capable of doing so many different things on the defensive side. There is no player at his position that drops back more in coverage than him in the entire NFL. And yet still he's one of the league leaders in sacks, which is very hard to do. And there is a website that grades how good players are in coverage, and he grades well above average in coverage. So he can drop back, he can tackle, he can chase down quarterbacks, he can play the run, he can line up inside, outside, over the guards. I mean, he can really do anything. And when you have somebody that's that dynamic, how do you game plan for it if you're the other team, because you don't even know what his role is going to be on a given week? And that's why Brian Flores, when we talk about him, we talk about his scheme. Mm-hmm. But I think what he's really good at is determining what players can do and their capabilities. He was a guy that played for Flores in Miami and was at the top of their list to bring over and come and join this team. And he's been an enormous contributor. I think he's been one of their MVPs on that side of the ball.
I agree with you 100%. I forget exactly what game it was. They all kind of blend together for me. But there was a play, I remember it, where Van Ginkle got Van Ginkle. Do you remember when the guy kind of pumped that quick out pass, but he did the pump fake?
Yes.
Van Ginkle bit on it, and then he threw it right behind him. Because, you know, yeah, Van Ginkle, he's run two of those back, you know, that quick. He just gets his paw up there, that quick out. And Van Ginkle got Van Ginkle once. Can I ask you one more thing about Sam Darnold?
Yes.
The Sam Darnold question now, okay? This is rich people problems, but we know that he's on the one-year deal or whatever it is. And at the end of the season, he's deservedly so going to get himself a big fat paycheck. Now, I saw this online today, but I promise you this was also my opinion when I was talking to my kid about the game this last weekend. Let Sam go, in my opinion. You've got that, what's his name, Donnie Dimes or Danny Dimes from the Giants in waiting. Our head coach is some kind of a quarterback guru, and then J.J. McCarthy's going to be healthy. So I think you let Sam go and you wish him well. What are your thoughts?
I do not agree with that take. For one, I mean, think about when we talk about how good Sam Darnold has played. How many Vikings quarterbacks in your life have had a season this good?
You know who did? I'll tell you exactly who did, and it was Kirk Cousins last year before he got hurt.
No, no.
Oh, boy.
No, that's not how this works.
I know. Bust out the boxing gloves. We're going to have a fight.
Eight decent games last year is not how it works versus a 13-2 start to a season. I mean, Sam Darnold is playing at pretty much the Brett Favre 2009 level. He's playing better than any Kirk Cousins season so far this year. And I mean, think about how much they've outscored teams by. They never did that with Cousins. The playmaking, the scrambling, all that sort of stuff, the hard throws down the field, that stuff that we didn't see before. I mean, there have been very, very few seasons in the history for the Vikings that have been at this level. And it's not random. It's not lucky. It's not something that just so happens. And, you know, the KOC quarterback whisperer thing is great, but what exactly did he do on that play in Seattle for the game-winning touchdown? Nothing. That's
Sam pure
Darnold.
Talent. Yeah, that's pretty. I'll give you that. So, what do you do? What do you think you do?
Well, here's the thing. I think that the paying a quarterback thing is way overstated, because when you look at the teams that are in the playoffs right now, Green Bay, they paid Jordan Love this offseason. Jared Goff, he's got a big contract. Matthew Stafford, big contract. Jalen Hurts, big contract. People act like it's some sort of impossibility to continue to be good if you pay your quarterback. But the way you can manipulate the salary cap, they can create a window for Sam Darnold to continue to have chances to win. And the biggest thing is, too, about J.J. McCarthy, he has never played an NFL game, and he's never even had a practice during an NFL season, and we're just assuming he's going to be as good as Sam Darnold? That's a lot.
I agree with you there, but I said that you got that Donnie Dimes or whatever his name is from New York. I think that KOC is going to be able to rub his magic dust and do the same thing that he did to Sam Darnold to this guy. But, you know, only time will tell. Listen, we're up against the break. I really appreciate meeting you. It was nice having you on tonight. Catch Matthew Caller on the Purple Insider. All right, my friend, thanks.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, bud.